Oh, that popcorn.
I don't want to eat it.
We don't know what to do with it.
Well, if you don't really want to go to the restroom, eat lots of popcorn. Which, really? By the way, did you hear there was a postage stamp about constipation?
No, why?
It hasn't come out yet.
Oh.
Oh, that one.
That one. Oh, boy.
Well, we're sitting in front of microphones. Let's do a podcast.
Sure, why not?
I want to go see Jurassic World instead.
I want to sit in front of a microphone and watch a movie.
As long as you don't demote me like Brian Williams, let's go.
Well, you know, last week's show was so great. I was thinking, you know, why don't we just, like, re-listen to that show?
Nah.
Eh.
Okay. Go ahead and count it down, then.
Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, this is Tom Mills, H.R. Harmer Stamp Auctions. You're listening to the podcast for Stamp Show Here Today.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, episode 36. I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show Here Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. Let's talk about stamps.
And always remember, stamp collecting happens when we dream together.
No, it doesn't.
No.
That from the co-inventor of the Tube Sock.
If I'm... Bazinga. So I don't want to be in any of Cash's dreams.
There you go. So this week we'll be talking about stamp news, no smoking please, hashtag stamp stories, hashtag a summer of stamps, and our expert topic of the week is USPS versus Inspector General and saving stamps.
You want to know something? Take out what I said last time, or just a while ago. I will go ahead and listen to this podcast.
Yeah, okay. And the part about dreaming together, too.
Sounds good. Sounds kind of interesting. I think I have something to contribute here.
So, Stamp News. This is inspired by Lynn's article entitled No Smoking Policy on U.S. Stamps Includes Removal of Cigarettes, inspired today's Stamp News. So, the big debate is, there's an iconic photo and there's a person smoking in it. Is it okay to take the cigarette out of their mouth to maintain a PC appeal?
Well, there's a couple iconic.
Okay or not, the Postal Service has done that on more than one occasion.
Yeah, there's half a dozen of them that are listed here that they did that to, it looks like.
Yeah, why don't you go down the list real quick so people just know what we're talking about.
Cigarettes are removed from the photographs of composer Bernard Herrmann and Thornton Wilder.
There's also blues singer and songwriter Robert Johnson. Let's see.
There was some in the salvage of the James Dean Legends of Hollywood stamp. Someone smoking a cigarette, walking down the street, and took that out.
Jackson Pollock, he always had a cigarette in his mouth, and I guess there's a stamp that has that removed.
Yeah. And that was one of the arguments that said that was kind of weird. I guess there is one that does have a cigarette on there, though. 1982 20-cent Franklin Delano Roosevelt stamp. He has a cigarette and a holder in his hand. Ooh.
Yeah, if they... I mean, he always had that really long
like Cruella DeVille thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like a foot-long cigarette holder. And it was, like, iconic. If they would have airbrushed that one out, everybody would have said, hey, what the heck are you doing here?
They would have said, oh, I guess he doesn't want to catch his stamps on fire.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think? Is that kind of going too far if they're known for smoking? Or?
Well, if
you're going to base it on a photograph like that, then you should base it on the photograph. You shouldn't alter it to conform to political views.
I mean, like if, you know, they show Washington crossing the Delaware and, you know, they have something against boats or something. You're not going to Photoshop them in the back of a pickup truck or something. But
I mean, what if he had a pipe in his mouth?
Well, what I was thinking about is like Barack or Michelle Obama with her health things. Maybe she like removes junk food from the dinner table, like at the Thanksgiving who painted the Thanksgiving. God, I'm drawing a total blank.
Anyway. Cash's corrections.
Yeah, Cash's corrections.
Painted what Thanksgiving what?
There's a famous picture of Thanksgiving dinner with the father cutting the turkey and
Norman Rockwell.
Norman Rockwell, of course. And, you know, I could see her going there and saying, oh, no, that's bad. Erase that and erase that and erase that. No,
or,
my God. They
or something cream. More modern where there's a can of soda in it.
Oh.
Yeah, ooh. Photoshop. You can do a lot of things with Photoshop now.
Yeah.
What if she was at an event and she didn't want any, you know, junk food in the background or pictures that she was at?
Well, there was the...
She forgot to get her hair done.
What about what about the one stamp where they were showing kids playing... And, like, one of them was on a bicycle, and they didn't have a helmet.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the skateboarder didn't have knee pads.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, you go, and these...
They pulled the entire issue for that.
And these were stick figures.
Yeah.
They were... It was a stick figure not wearing a helmet.
That's ridiculous.
It was a ridiculous thing.
I've done that to children's toys, like, you know, the Ninja Turtles. They had figurines of them skateboarding. And they had to have helmets and knee pads, and they never wore that in the cartoon.
No, well, they have shells. They have back protection.
Well, it's a nanny state now.
Oh, well, there's that term.
Oh, I had to learn all about that in sociology.
America. America. Heck yeah.
So some of the comments people put on Lynn's is this is absolutely retarded and is warped by the political correct agenda. Another one is nothing to do with politics. It's about health.
Right.
Another person said a little not so PC, maybe cover your kids' ears. Gee, we don't show people having sex on stamps. So, and then they go on to talk about President Bill Clinton, his future stamp. So take that where it may go.
Yeah, but hold on. if they did show sex on stamps, they'd probably sell more stamps. Yeah.
Oh, they would.
They better go back to lick and stick, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you can edit that one out.
So then people are trying to figure out, people were honoring musicians. Why not just keep on with their whole...
How about finding another photograph or painting to base the stamp on rather than
choosing that one?
Well, you can't pick which photo is going to be iconic. People kind of decide
that.
Yeah,
but a person is, you know, you're commemorating the person, not the photograph.
Yeah. Mm. Somebody made that point in the comments, too, actually, that's a big difference. You know, are you commemorating the person? Then it's okay to change it. If you're commemorating the photograph as a piece of art, now you're manipulating the piece of art, which would not be appropriate.
Kind of censorship gone too far, I guess.
Well, sort of like, you know, if you take the flag raising over Iwo Jima.
How many World War II photos, I was just going to say, World War II photos are the grunts, the army guys, the sailors, whatever, they got cigarettes hanging out of their mouths?
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely almost every one of them.
And they were issued with their rations, I believe, cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. And Coke.
Not regular. Diet and regular, not the other kind.
Well, that depends which war.
No, they sent people Coca-Cola to make them feel more at home. And Coca-Cola, they highly regulated sugar. And Coca-Cola got around it by making soft drinks for the soldiers.
And now they're killing us. Yay!
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. So
go away, Coca-Cola.
Making everyone obese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that wraps up that topic. And, of course, reach out to us on social media if you have some more opinions on it.
Oh, we could go on with this for an hour, but...
Yeah.
Podcast is only supposed to be 40 minutes, so...
And just insert a whole bunch of politically incorrect comments here.
Exactly. So our hashtag stamp store is going to start a series on summer fun, and this one covers Disney on stamps because, well, Disney's awesome. Here's a list of new stamps to search for over those summer days when it's 200 degrees outside and there's a red flag warning for air quality and you're stuck indoors, which we all are right now, actually.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
There's a lot of fires going on. So Poland has issued a series entitled Poland's Magical World of Disney.
Yay!
So they just released their third stamp in the issue, which depicts Anna and Elsa from Disney's Frozen and Olaf and the Selvedge.
Hey, start that sentence again.
So they just released their third stamp on June 1st. It depicts Anna and Elsa from Disney's Frozen and Olaf and the Selvedge. It reads Karina Laudu, Polish for Iceland, and someone please correct me if you speak Polish, and it's limited edition of 25,000?
No. That would be 250,000.
Oh, sorry. And it's LE edition of 250,000, which is a huge LE because no pins are released in that amount with Anna and Elsa.
No, they're not. Darn it.
They're more like 250.
That's small for a stamp issue, though.
LE stands for limited edition.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Just figured that out.
Not LE from up. Yeah.
No, I'm looking at it saying it says LE 250,000. Go. Ellie, like
Lira, 250,000.
I'm thinking about all the Polish words that I know, which is just slightly over zero.
Well, yeah, I looked at that, and the first thing I was thinking is, okay, that's the currency. What currency is? And then it hit me before she even got to that when she read it, but that it was limited edition. But I mean, you take that chance when you abbreviate.
Yeah.
Sorry, however, a little bit of geek speak there. Know what it means.
250,000 for something stamp collecting wise, that's pretty limited.
It is.
That's going to be a premium item.
Well, and the fact that it's a very popular topical.
Oh, yeah.
Is what's really going to drive it.
I think also that it's more from what you would consider a traditional stamp issuing country and not like Ghana.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So it's more of a real stamp. So.
Well, there are lots of Polish people in this country. And lots of Polish people in Poland. And it goes across a lot of topics. I mean, there's Disney collectors on all sorts of different topical platforms.
Oh, yeah. We just got an entire Disney catalog. That's not a small book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the second stamp was released June 1st of last year, and it's based on the Pirate Fairy, which features Tinkerbell in an animated feature. Go see it if you haven't. It's pretty awesome. And the first was released on June 1st, 2013, which featured the Fab Five. Now, who here besides Jeff can tell me who the Fab Five are?
Jeff.
Whoa, crickets.
The Fab Five?
Jeff can tell you.
So it's not like
the top five Disney characters.
Oh.
So we'll start with Mickey.
Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Goofy.
Yeah.
Two left.
Donald Duck.
He said Donald.
Yeah, but I'm going to count him twice so we can get through this quick.
Minnie Mouse.
Yep. There you go. One more.
And
Pluto.
Nope.
Robin Hood. Belle.
No, it's somebody.
No.
Little Mermaid.
Why are you looking at me?
I think they got it.
Why does Little Mermaid wear seashells?
Oh, no.
She outgrew her bee shells.
Oh, no.
It's going to be one of those days.
Yep.
So we want to know.
Who was the last one?
I think it was Pluto.
Yeah, Pluto.
Was it Pluto? Yeah.
So we want to know what new stamps your kids are on the hunt for. Tell us on Twitter, hashtag a summer of stamps, hashtag stamp stories.
Or you're not so little kids.
Yeah, I know. Or yeah, Jessica.
Man or women, children out there. So, updates. Cash has a whole list of hot topics he wants to talk about for his corrections portion.
Yeah, the first one is that the internet was ablaze with a stamp for the gyro pilot Doug Hughes. And nobody here knows who Doug Hughes is. He's the guy who landed his little gyrocopter on the lawn of the White House. And it shows a picture of him, his little helicopter. It says USA Forever. And they got a whole bunch of web traffic because they made it look like an official site. My interest in this is that it doesn't have a value. It says forever. And it says the post office got very perturbed by this, which I can see because it's a perforated stamp. It's well done. It looks like
a real stamp. It's not a stamp. It's a label.
It's a Cinderella. But my question is, in the old days, if you printed a stamp and you put like 25 cents on it, they'd come after you and say, you made a fake stamp. this has the word forever on it. And I'm really curious because you can't, you know, copyright the word forever. And, you know, the post office could still come after you because they can come after you for anything. Well, but I'm interested in the background on this.
Well, my contention is that they can't really go after you for printing them or owning them, only if you try to use them as postage, because then you're trying to defraud the government.
Mm-hmm.
But until then, they're just Cinderella labels.
And it is cool.
And you can put whatever you want on them.
It is cool that this guy is getting some media attention. And it is a pretty cool looking little stamp if you... Are we going to put this on our website or something?
It was well done.
Yeah, I can put a link to it on there.
Yeah.
It was well done.
It was really well done.
Yeah, this guy needs to do official stamp art, whoever made that.
Yeah, it looks a lot better than the fern stamp.
I hate that fern stamp.
And the second thing, the ASDA, I want to compliment them because they put a full page article on the chicken stamp. And they titled it Collection Starters, and they go over a bunch of items that I actually have in my chicken research group. They have a proof, though, that I have never seen before, and that's kind of interesting. So ASDA, kudos for glomming on to the hot topic of 2015, the chicken stamp. And the last one is...
I think that topic just laid an egg.
This, it did.
Hey, I like chickens. Chicken stamp. Raw team.
Yeah, they're good for eating.
The last one has to do with U.S. currency, and it relates directly to the topic that we always talk about, stamp worthy. And on the $10 bill is coming up for redesign, and they want to take Alexander Hamilton off the $10 bill and replace it with a woman.
Okay, so... Really quick, anybody besides Cash, who knows why Alexander Hamilton is on our money, besides being a president?
He's a founding father.
Not a founding father.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Shot at Aaron Burr?
No. Well, yeah. he did shoot first. He caught one and Burr didn't, but...
He founded the Treasury.
Yeah, he was... Oh. First Treasury Secretary.
It's his fault.
Yep. It's his fault. He owns the place.
Oh,
and
no.
They're kicking him off the currency.
Banks are his fault.
Yep. So actually, they were talking about taking Andrew Jackson off because Andrew Jackson actually was fighting against the national banks and everything. So, you know, if they would have been alive at the same time, they would have been bitter enemies.
Hey,
but anyway, the...
That's funny then. So your $20 bill is ironic.
Yes. Well, totally aside, and I think I said this before, but a lot of Indian casinos don't want to take $20 bills because Andrew Jackson was very, very anti-Indian and stuff like that. And if you look at history, sorry, dudes, he wasn't.
Huh.
His big thing was... He liked the Indians. He adopted an Indian child and everything. But if you were in the United States, you had to recognize U.S. laws. If you wanted to be your own country, he said, basically go somewhere else and do it. Go to Oklahoma if you want to be your own country.
Wait. They were here first.
By the way, Jessica's a quarter American Indian.
No, the dinosaurs were here first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, yes, I know Jessica is a squaw
Just for those
lady.
That didn't know.
Well, here, why don't you put this question to your study circle. Which came first, chicken or the egg?
Oh, definitely the chicken. Definitely.
Definitely. Definitely the chicken.
Oh, bother.
Let's try to get back. Alexander Hamilton is being taken off the $10 bill in favor of a non-penis American to be named at a later date. And I always thought that that was very odd that, you know, you don't say, hey, this person really deserves to be honored. They say, no, we need a woman here.
I think it's going to be Maya Angelou watch.
Oh, well, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Cash's favorite person.
They're going to put it up for a vote.
Oh.
And that's going to be really weird.
Yeah,
because,
but who gets to vote?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if they put it up to vote today. One of the, you know, there's a couple people who would get huge amounts of votes, like Paris Hilton,
Right.
And Kim Kardashian.
Oh, no.
God.
Guaranteed.
Kim Kardashian they on would, money.
They would get major votes.
She's not even American. She's Armenian.
So the question is, I think she's an American citizen now.
No, that's true.
So the question is, how are they going to select which American they're going to put on the $10 bill?
Let's do a double whammy. Let's do Harriet Tubman. African-American and woman.
Well, they actually...
That sounds like it could be an earnest contender.
Eleanor Roosevelt.
I'm sorry, I don't like you the have term female, African-American.
You have female.
You're either American or you're not. Doesn't matter what color you are.
So other than Eleanor Roosevelt, and you have Harriet Tubman and people like that.
Susan B. Anthony.
But they actually, they've already been on coins. So Susan B. Anthony and Sacagawea have already done it. I have a funny feeling that, they can't put it up for a vote. Even though they're saying they're putting it up for a vote, they can't. Because if they did, they'd get somebody contemporary.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I am not using currency with freaking Kim Kardashian on it.
Would you rather use currency with Michelle Obama on it?
Michelle's not quite as skanky.
Right. I don't think she has her own tape.
No, she doesn't.
And also, just since you're bringing that up, there isn't the rule with currency that there is with stamps where you can not show living people. They're not going to show a living person, but they don't. They could if somebody like really went off the deep end and decided to put, Michelle Obama on the $10 bill or something.
I think her husband would be kind of pissed off if she got it first, though.
Yeah. So we have stamp worthy and we have $10 bill worthy now.
There we go. So for my update, I'm going to give you an update. I know we talked a lot about Spock's passing, but there's now a Kickstarter campaign for a documentary about his life and his career as Spock called For the Love of Spock, headed up by his son, Adam Nimoy. So if you have a sense of love for Spock, give him a dollar.
I think he's stamp worthy. I want more too. Spock on stamps.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it.
And also, can you guys guess what the top overall favorite U.S. stamps were from 2014?
I know the list, and I am so sad that Batman didn't make number one.
He is number one on the youth's favorite.
Yes.
We'll talk about that in a second.
So people bought the Batman stamp and used it the most?
So Circus, yes, number one. Number two, Tweet Tweet.
Songbirds.
There we go.
Oh, boy.
I don't even remember that one.
I was on the Postal Service website, and they had press sheets or panes of them available. And it's like, yeah, I vaguely remember seeing them that they were issued, but I've never seen one used.
Yeah.
Okay, so number three, I can't remember this one. Hudson River School? Was that the airmail?
Yeah, that was a booklet.
Oh, booklet.
Yeah.
So the least favorite with one vote, apparently, was, can you guess the least favorite from last year?
No, that I don't know.
Ferns.
Ferns, yeah.
Ferns is middle.
Oh,
the ground.
Oh my God!
It's not the isn't not that, even near the bottom.
Isn't that terrible? Somebody There's looked at that stamp and that? Said, "Hey, that's a good looking stamp."
It's better than something else. It's not going to be the Lakers stamp.
Janis Joplin.
No, she's pretty high up on there. She's actually beat out Will Chamberlain.
Harvey Milk.
Well, you've got the gay vote there.
Was right below Will Chamberlain. But in the middle.
That's not a good way to say that.
Was it another flag? Did they do another flag stamp?
There was a flag stamp, the red, white, and blue. It is in the bottom three, but not the worst.
Ooh, getting closer.
Well, what's the least favorite release they do every year? It's a
Kwanzaa.
Ongoing...
EID?
EID.
Unfortunately, it's famous African-Americans.
Oh, it's Black Heritage.
Black Heritage.
Really? That was the least favorite?
They're both in the bottom. Shirley Chisholm,
Chisholm.
And Ralph Ellison, which is sad.
Wow. I would not have guessed that. I was thinking, okay, they're still good-looking stamps because they're artistic. That's why I was going for the plain ones, ferns, flags, like that.
Mm-mm.
Wow.
So, youth favorite, we got Batman number one. And you guys guess any of the other top
ones? Well, what's the least favorite amongst the kids?
Silver bells.
As a Christmas stamp.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not really into Christmas, which is ironic, because they would be putting that on Grandma's letter, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, kids email Grandma now.
Hoping to get a good present.
Well, again, hold on. Oh, wait. This is youth. I believe youth is 27 and below. This is.
I have no idea.
For their voting purposes?
Oh, yeah, no, it's not 18.
It's like 54 and below.
Yeah, it's not 18. This is not like 18 and below. This is higher than 18.
It's probably 54 and below.
Yeah, 50.
Sorry, Steve.
So, ironically, Hot Rods is number 4, and on the adults list, it's actually towards the bottom.
Huh.
You think adults would like cars more than kids?
Well, I think kids tend to like the more modern topics anyway.
Yeah.
The old fogey guys tend to like history more.
Birds. Ferns.
Birds and ferns, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Songbirds is number 2. Number 3 is Winter Flowers. Winter Flowers beat out Jimi Hendrix and Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah, but
I think
for kids?
I'm calling up.
It's because they don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess.
Well, probably if they had a broader voting base. Because, yeah, I don't see that as happening.
So in the Hudson River School, which is number 3 on the adults, was actually on the bottom for kids. It was
they don't know who it is, and they don't care about art.
Yeah,
I couldn't even. I don't remember which one that was.
I can't off the top of my head either. Goes to show you, but I know what the Hendrix stamp looks like and Batman.
There you go.
Some old guy sitting on his porch in a rocker, going, "God damn kids!
How'd you bring up with the whippersnappers?
Why didn't more kids vote for the ferns?"
So our expert topic of the week is savings stamps, which is inspired by the news that the USPS has issued a statement against the Inspector General. And I guess this has been going on for 100 years?
Well, it's been going on a while.
Yeah, about 100 years.
For a bajillion years.
So the Office of the Inspector General released a statement saying that, hey, the post office could make money by monetizing and getting back into banking again. And the USPS got upset and said, no, we're just about delivery. We don't do that. How dare you?
But they used to.
Well, they used to up until like 1967. And they still do today to a very small extent, as people do save postal money orders. Because postal money orders don't expire.
Oh, interesting.
So there are people who go and buy postal money orders. But this
Are you sure? I thought they changed that.
No, not that I know of.
Okay.
I mean, it's not something that, you know, people...
They don't advertise it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can get a bank account nowadays or a PayPal account, you know, there's really no need for it. What this really is for people who cannot get a bank account, who are undocumented, who are in the country illegally, or are in an area that they're so off-grid that they can't really do banking. Now, in the 1920s, that was half the country. Today, you know, it's specific people.
So, hey, look who's here. Brian just walked in.
Yay!
Yay!
Surprise special guest, B-Rye.
Thank you, Scott. That was very hilarious and informative.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't me talking.
That's the button Cash would have pushed, though.
Thank you for inviting me to the podcast.
So we're talking about savings stamps.
Okay.
And there's two types of savings. You have the postal savings stamps, and then you have the ones that were the war savings stamps, which are issued by the Treasury Department.
Actually, I have many more different ones than
well,
that.
Well, yeah, but as far as the early ones.
There's basically two types of stamps. There's ones that do not bear any interest whatsoever, which you put into a book or something to save up to get something, which is either, you know, a savings bond or something like that. And then you get the actual stamps that you can cash for a savings bond. So there are ones that bear interest and ones that do not bear interest. And just for the worldwide audience, this appears, or this same system occurred in Russia, India, Japan, Germany, Brazil, China, Kenya, Sri Lanka, France, Israel, and then I stopped writing down countries.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama. Blah, 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 blah. You well, shouldn't know that song.
Well, for those of you that are using the Scott catalog, it is way in the back of the book, located between the duck hunting stamps and the telegraph stamps.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking deep back of the book.
Yeah, it's...
And I'm sure they're the same places in the Stanley Gibbons and the Mickle and everybody else, too.
Whatever current volume we have in front of us, it's page 775. So that's back there for sure.
Absolutely.
So... easily and concisely, what was a saving stamp? What is a saving stamp?
Okay, so a thrift stamp is a stamp that doesn't bear interest.
Okay.
You get, in the United States in 1911, they issued 25-cent thrift stamps. And you got enough of them so you could cash them in for a $5 savings bond. During World War II, they lowered it to 10 cents so even kids could buy them. And then they'd add them up until they got a $5 or $10 whatever savings bond. So those are thrift stamps. They're worth nothing unless you fill the book and then cash it in.
Huh.
Then you have savings stamps. And a savings stamps will be like you get the thrift stamps and you cash them in. In 1911, you would get the 25-cent thrift stamps. Then you would cash them in for a savings stamp. And the savings stamp would generally have, in the United States, it had about 2% interest. And so you would have a $5 bill that was actually a postage stamp.
Huh.
And so, it would bear interest.
I've got a question for you. In our gang, when Froggy was going to the post office and he asks for 3 10-cent stamps for a quarter, which stamps would those be?
Well, that would be the 1930s, so that would probably be one of the war saving. No.
That was World War II. That was the
It was our gang was pre World War II. It was 1930. Okay,
war savings was World War One only.
The World War II drives. You remember when our gang and Little Rascals were doing all their recycling and. Saving stamp episodes. This
so they
was
would,
part of that.
They would have been going for the second war savings issue.
Right.
But what we're looking at is the post office selling maybe $1 stamps or 50-cent stamps or 25-cent stamps, depending on what market they want to attract. I mean, if you want to attract, this really is for people who can't get bank accounts. And if you're talking about people who can't get bank accounts, you're really talking about illegal aliens in today's society. So if you want to address, the lower rung of the economic chain of undocumented illegal people, you're probably going to have, let's say, $1 stamps.
Well, 100 years ago, though, you were talking about people in small-town America where your town may not have even had a bank.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why these things, the post office was so important.
Oh, in 1911, forget about, everything. This was for people who had to walk 5 miles to the post office, and there wasn't a bank for 50 miles. There were just no banks, and they didn't have any way to save their money. So they would cash in their dimes or in quarters and dollars, and they would buy the savings bonds. And so it all has to do with access. If you can access a bank, and I mean, today, I'm sitting next to an iPhone here. We can get on PayPal. We can move around $100, by hitting a couple buttons.
Bitcoin, baby.
Bitcoin. Yep.
I have Bitcoin.
But if you can't do that, then the post office stepped in and said, hey, we'll do this for you in small amounts. So if the IG, at a certain point, how much did they have? Oh, I got it right here. In 1947, which I don't know why they picked this number, but in 1947, there was $3.4 billion in postal savings.
So that's basically you're loaning the money to the government free of charge.
Well, no. These guys are getting 2% interest.
If you cashed in.
Yeah.
If you,
No. This is $3.4 billion at 2% interest.
Yeah, but they're using that money, and they're getting a lot more than that.
Well,
they have
I guess. It's the same thing
going
as paying
your taxes. Going back to economics,
taxes.
You know, they're
it's
just
going the same thing as paying your taxes early and giving the government a free loan for the rest of the year.
Yes.
Yeah, but there weren't really easy vehicles for saving back then. I mean,
right.
Think about what, like I said, there weren't as many banks, but banks weren't really set up for the middle or lower classes. They were set up for businesses or for farmers or for very specific specific people. And if you're just an average guy, you may not have a bank account, but you still like to save a little bit of money. You go to the post office, buy a few savings stamps after every paycheck, and you put it together into a book, and before you know it, you have a lot of money. There wasn't layaway. There weren't
no credit cards.
There weren't credit cards. Yeah, you had to save up for something. So if you wanted to buy something important, you bought a few of these.
They're even currently advertised today as the replacement if they're lost or stolen, and they supposedly never expire.
Mm.
You can still get them.
Oh, no, those are
saving stamps?
No, those are savings.
Oh, sorry.
Those are
postal
the
savings.
Postal money orders, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of changed. You could use the postal money orders like savings stamps, I guess.
But again, postal money orders don't bear interest.
So they're more like thrift then, the thrift stamps.
Well,
postal money orders. Postal money orders dated at during the same time as savings stamps, but they were called postal notes. They were for small transactions between, I think it was a penny and
a penny and a dollar.
Cent and a dollar. Yeah.
Well, actually, it was 1 cent to 99 cents.
Right. And as inflation took off and they upped the limit a little bit, and so now a postal money order, I think, goes for $700.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same type of thing.
Yeah.
Huh. So it's just the numbers that have changed.
It's a way for the poorest people to save. Because even though they're the poorest people, they still have a savings need. You still need to, you know, bank ahead. And, you know, if a bank is charging you because you don't have a high enough balance, you know, if they charge you $10 a month in a maintenance fee, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're broke again.
Yeah.
Whereas postal savings, you know, they give you 2% and they start off at some low rate.
Even today, the amount of people who in this country who I'm talking specifically about the U.S. who are eligible for savings accounts or for even checking accounts is very little. Among the I don't remember the breakpoints or the amounts, but it's shocking how many people in this country do not have access to credit cards, checking accounts, savings accounts, any kind of financial vehicle like that. And you can see the effect of this because check cashing places are making a fortune off of these people.
Mm. Yeah. If there's a check cashing place, then there should be postal savings. That's a really good marker of it. Yeah.
Is it kind of a quasi banking industry then?
Oh,
it's a banking industry for the disenfranchised.
And then, of course, during the wars, the government cashed in on it because not only were they offering banking services, but they were also paying off the war. But like I said, these went from 1911, which is before World War I, all the way up to 1967.
The savings stamps were discontinued in 1970.
Wow,
that's very recent.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Well, you could still buy treasury bonds up through the 80s, I think, right? Or early 80s?
No, you can buy U.S. government bonds today.
Yeah.
The $25 that I used to get when I was a kid?
Yeah, $2,500, mm-hmm. And yeah. Then they go up, yeah.
Oh, they have different series. But yeah, depending on what you're buying them for. But
okay. I thought they stopped doing those years ago.
Oh, no.
I don't know where you buy them.
At the bank.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You just walk into the bank and say, I want to buy a $50 bond, and they'll say, give me $25.
Well, I remember my $25 bond that my uncle gave me. When I went to cash it in my 30s, I think it was worth $31.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had some of those.
Yeah, yeah.
That I got when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2%, though, I don't think you're keeping up with inflation.
Probably not.
I'm barely keeping up with inflation.
Barely hope we live to 100.
The general premise is you pay half the face value and then it has a maturity
right.
date.
Yeah.
Where they guarantee that the interest
way
will...
Way off in the future.
Right. Where they guarantee that it'll be worth face value at that point. And then if you hold on to it longer than that, then there's a different rate of return.
Aren't you better
that.
Off just stashing $100 bills somewhere than cashing them out?
Yeah, that's really secure. Yeah.
Well, the
coffee cans buried in the yard.
Yeah,
but you do sleep better when they're in your mattress.
Well, the Roman soldiers used to take their bags of coins and they would bury them before a battle, and those have a very impressive return rate.
Yeah.
Because now, 1,500 or 2,000 years later, the people who find those bags are doing pretty well for themselves.
No, actually, I love this because a numari is a little copper coin. And two of them used to buy you lunch.
That's what used to be called the widow's mite, right?
Right. Well, widow's mite is specifically from the, and not even really from the Israel area, but the entire Middle East area is where the mite comes from.
Okay.
And two of them would buy you lunch. Nowadays, they're worth about a buck each, maybe a buck and a half. Over 2,000 years later, they're worth, a buck to a buck and a half.
And it won't buy you lunch.
So two of them together for $3 will buy you a Big Burger and a Coke.
Yeah, but what was...
It still buys you lunch.
I
think lunch back then consisted of a sparrow and maybe a couple...
A
ladle of soup or something like that.
Sparrows. I wish I had a sparrow.
I guarantee you there are places in this world where you could probably still get a little bit of a little tiny bowl of soup and a sparrow for about $2.
Yeah. So are any
there's a guy down who lives at the beach. I think he lives on like a bowl of porridge and a sparrow every day.
There you go.
I'm curious, that's what they're really selling at Red Robin.
Ooh.
So are any of these saving stamps rare or valuable?
Absolutely. All the ones that bear interest are valuable because they got cashed in. Now they, you can have a $5 stamp that maybe has a redemption value of $15 or $20, and I believe the catalog value on the green Franklin one is like $750.
Which green one?
The Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, that's the Ben Franklin's blue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's $160. The Treasury savings stamp with Alexander Hamilton on it. Used is
$1,500,
and unused would be $3,750. So.
And they're going to remove his face from it and replace it with a penis-less person.
Grab your eraser.
Yeah, you can email Cash's complaints.
Yes,
the one with Abraham Lincoln, which Lincoln is arguably more popular than Hamilton. Also, $1,500. Used, but $4,500 mint and $9,000 never hinged.
Yeah, and again, it's because these all got cashed in. But look at the little 10-centers. How much are the 10-centers?
Oh, they catalog at a quarter, which is the minimum value in the catalog, which means you could probably get them for less.
And a lot of times, you'll find these partially filled out books because it needed to get to $5. And you may have like $1.30 of them, so you'll have 13 stamps all stuck down. So when you pull them out, there's going to be no gum. And they're all over the place. You can find them all over the place.
You think when they were sitting down over reviewing the economics behind it when they were creating these, you think there was any thought that they were actually banking a little bit on people not redeeming them? It's kind of like the lost 60 cents on a $50 gift card kind of thing.
Absolutely, they were banking on it. There's no question in my mind.
Or them being burned in a fire or something.
Like I said, I ran a chain of day spas and we sold gift certificates. 17% just never showed back up again. 17% profit, just thank you very much.
Well, 17% of $2 billion.
No, 3.4.
3.4. Oh, good grief.
Yeah.
It's almost $1 billion.
That's more than lunch money.
Yeah.
You can buy a lot of sparrows in porridge.
I don't know if any of you guys know the answer to this, but I've been curious. The way you tell a mint saving stamp from a U saving stamp is the U stamps have no gum. What was to stop people, because I know there had to be somebody who thought about this back then, what's to stop somebody from taking the no-gum stamp, sticking it to the savings form that they turn in, cashing it in, getting another $5, redeeming it, soaking it off again?
Because they would deface them when you redeemed the book.
They didn't deface them. You had to ship them to the Treasury, and they were burnt. There are none. They were destroyed.
So in theory, any of them that had been redeemed do not exist.
Correct.
But I thought that the no gum price was for used stamps.
It is. The no gummed ones
it is.
Are in a book. They were stuck in the book, and the book was still never redeemed.
Okay.
So just the person never turned it in.
They're still considered used.
Yeah.
But they would still be, if for some weird reason that this rule was still enforced, you could go to your local post office or bank and still cash those in.
If you get one of these stamps, you know, if you go out there and you spend your $500, $700,000, whatever, you can take that stamp to the post office and they will give you your $12.25 or whatever it is.
Awesome.
Well, I'm going to go find all the damaged ones of these that I can find, and I'm going to buy them incredibly cheap, and I'm going to take them all to the post office.
Oh, yeah. Good luck there.
And that's how I'm going to make my fortune.
You're going to show up in Lynn's magazine.
You know how easy it is to get the post office to agree with you on something.
Oh, yeah.
That's just so easy.
That, too. Yeah. What paperwork are you going to have to go to bring a 1911 $5 stamp in to redeem? As opposed to just dumping it off to a stamp collector for a couple $100.
So on one more note, recently we've talked a lot about counterfeits and forgeries and things like that. And there is one war saving stamp that was also counterfeited.
Oh.
It is the Blue Franklin $5 stamp that I have seen counterfeits of.
That's printing money.
So what kind of counterfeits? To fool the collector or to fool the government?
Yes, both.
Oh.
All the above.
They're very good. They're very good counterfeits.
How can you tell? Does the printing look different? What is it that looks so different about these?
They're extremely rare, and I believe it's the printing. They used a different printing process.
Okay. So it'll be a coarser, crude impression.
Slightly. Okay. It's a well-done forgery, though.
Okay.
No, it's not inkjet.
No.
I have seen a... I don't know why. Maybe more people are... Maybe the technology is finally catching up. But I see a lot of gas stations and convenience stores with a small section of $5 and $10 counterfeits now.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have even thought... you know, 15 years ago, who would possibly forge a $5 or $10 bill that just wasn't cost effective? Now you see all these high school kids scanning them with their computers and printing them out.
People are idiots. Jessica used to be a manager at Kmart, and her last day, she went in and cashed her check at the counter. They offered for employees. They handed her the cash, and she starts counting it, and the $100 bills they gave her were blue.
That's
and great. It was printed on like notebook paper.
Wow.
I wasn't happy. And I spent a lot of time training those people.
Yeah, she was the one that gave the anti-counterfeiting seminars.
Oh.
What is wrong with you?
What's interesting is I heard this recently, those counterfeit pens that are supposed to detect all counterfeits, it's actually kind of silly. The only thing that they detect is sizing in the paper.
That is correct.
Yeah. In most papers, you have a whitener, which I believe is made out of some sort of cornstarch or something like that. And all it does is it chemically changes the color of the cornstarch from white to a yellowish-brown color. Well, dollar bills are rag content. They don't have anything to change the color to white like almost all other papers do. If you can simply find a paper that doesn't have that chemical brightener, you'll fool all the counterfeit detectors. And then suddenly you have genuine.
Guess what, Brian?
What?
Hairspray.
Hairspray.
I'm not even kidding. A light coating front and back makes it impervious to those detector pens, and it will not change color.
Okay, so when the FBI FBI goes and listens,
we're done.
When the FBI listens to this podcast, it'll be removed, and we'll wonder why they're breaking into our houses.
Exactly.
Okay, can I get a drum roll? We're going to open our inverted, hopefully uninverted Jenny sheet.
This is it. I feel lucky today. I feel really lucky.
Let's see if Brian's good luck or not.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
Here we go.
No, now we gotta split it with Brian.
Here we
go. Oh, crap.
That's right.
Nah.
$12 in postage.
Oh, he doesn't even have it out yet.
Okay.
No, it's inverted. We're lucky.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Oh. I thought that's what we were looking for today.
Okay, you can email us at stampshowhere@gmail.com. Twitter at StampShowHT. Facebook, Stamp Show Here Today, and our website, www.stampshowheretoday.com, with your questions and comments. You can now leave your questions and comments on a Google Voice answer machine anytime, country code 1-949-873-4298. There is also a link to a Google Voice on our website, so you can make the call from any computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
Hi, this is Chris Harmer of Harmer Show Auctions, and I'm at Stamp Show Here Today.
Hi, this is Stephen Patillo, also known as Stamp Show Steve. I'm sitting here in the offices of PSE, Professional Stamp Experts, and I'd like to say hi and welcome you all to come to the various stamp shows once a month in Glendale, Van Nuys, and Anaheim. You can find all these dates, locations, and maps at stampshowsteve.com, and we welcome you to bring your stamps in to sell or buy or trade. There's multiple dealers there to help you fill in your collection or to buy what you may have for them. I hope that you all can sometime venture out and come to one of our shows, look it up on our website, and come in if you have stamps for authentication purposes or grading purposes. Seek out myself or the table that represents PSE Professional Stamp Experts.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about repurfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today. Return to sender.